You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Timberwolves did not play well on Tuesday night, and that is putting it extremely lightly. I want to give my immediate reaction, kind of my parsing the two very strong opinions out there, as it seems that there always are, on the Timberwolves and their performance and the coaching and what happens next. So I'm going to do that here in a second, and then I will do a bit of a quick game recap, kind of the overview of the game, and then studs and duds as always. But I want to open with just some kind of big picture thoughts, which is kind of silly, admittedly, because we're talking about four games and specifically one game. But I don't know. I think soul searching is something Timberwolves fans are pretty good at, or if not good at, something that Timberwolves fans and those that follow and cover the Timberwolves are at least experienced at, I think, to say the least. So that's what I want to do here for the first part of the show. As always, though, I do want to remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast anywhere that you get podcasts. That includes iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right. So if you're listening to this, you probably saw the Timberwolves game on Tuesday night. If you didn't, you've probably at least seen the box score. And what happened is very apparent by the box score, and it probably happened exactly how you might have expected had you not watched the game. The Timberwolves actually played well early, and I'm going to get a little bit more into this here in the next segment when I break down the game itself a little bit further. But I think, in a sense, the answer to where this team is at is somewhere in this game, right? I mean, the Timberwolves played very well in the first quarter. They got out to, I think, an 8 or 10 point lead, and Dave Benz was probably a little too excited on the Timberwolves broadcast, but the Wolves did get off to a good start, and that was really important. And then all of a sudden there was some adversity, and the team more or less shut down for a period of time. They actually played pretty hard in the second half, and that was encouraging to see. Now, part of it's because they put guys in the game that don't get a ton of run and were clearly going to play hard. Jared Vanderbilt, you know, Jade McDaniels, Jordan McLaughlin still getting into game shape, all those guys. But there was like this stretch of the very end of the first quarter through most of the second quarter where the Timberwolves just weren't competitive. And from there, it was like, I don't know, a third of the guys on the roster, and maybe that's being a little conservative, just kind of shut down. And that's obviously concerning. Now, there's a couple sides to this. And yet, all these things can still be true. So my colleague on Dunking with Wolves, Dylan Jackson, was operating our Twitter account last night, and he tweeted something about how, and I'm not reading it verbatim, but it was something about how the Timberwolves have, they just don't have enough talent outside of Towns. They shouldn't be losing this badly to a team that got beat by 50 on Sunday. I think there's a lot of truth to what he said. I also don't think it's fair to boil it down to those statements. And I think in an honest moment, Dylan would say the same thing. But I think that tweet and then the reaction to said tweet is kind of a pretty good snapshot of where the Timberwolves fan base is right now. On the one hand, you had a terrible performance. There's no other way to slice it. When you lose, when you're down by 30, you lose by 23 in a game that really you were down by 30 for a good chunk of it. And really, you should never be down by 30. Clearly, it was a terrible performance. The effort was mostly bad, or at least bad for the pivotal juncture of the first half. And the coaching wasn't great. The Timberwolves didn't really make any adjustments at all defensively. No major adjustments. And according to Saunders postgame, we'll get into this in a minute, but apparently the players were just kind of going rogue. And then also the rotation. I mean, there weren't any chances taken until late in the third quarter when the game was basically out of reach in terms of giving Vanderbilt some run, trying some different lineup combinations. And everything was thrown out of whack with no Towns and Okogie, which leads me to the other side of it, which is that, yeah, there's plenty of excuses. Trivializing the Clippers as a team that lost by 50 on Sunday is pretty unfair, considering they're one of the top four favorites to win the title and are really, really good. They just beat the Lakers and the Nuggets easily over the past week. So the Clippers are a really good opponent. The Timberwolves didn't have Karl Anthony Towns. Timberwolves didn't have Josh Okogie, which I understand he's like, what, the fifth or sixth best player on the team. But he's important to what they do, and it obviously messes with the rotation, and they thought there was a chance they'd have him, and then they didn't. So those things all matter. And yeah, the Clippers, on the other side, they were without Kawhi Leonard. So there's plenty of excuses in all different directions. And So I think context matters, and I think it's important to point out that there are a lot of factors that contributed to this being a game the Timberwolves were never likely to win. The problem is that they were super competitive, leading the game for the first 10 minutes, almost the entire first quarter. They played really well. And then suddenly they just kind of shut down. And I don't know what the exact moment was. I mean, there was a timeout that Ty Lue called in there for the Clippers. There obviously some subs came in. Rubio tweaked his ankle, came out of the game around that time. And the Wolves were they were tied at 25 with 2.5 minutes left in the first quarter. And there were just a couple of bad Malik Beasley plays. There was a defensive play where he completely lost his man on a backdoor cut, and Ed Davis couldn't recover in time. And that particular play wasn't Davis's fault. Beasley just lost his guy. I think it was Lou Williams. And that kind of jump-started it. There was a bad turnover in there. The Clippers went on a 9-0 run. They finished the first quarter up 33-29. And then it just snowballed. The second unit couldn't do it. D'Angelo Russell came in with a new lineup, a big lineup. Anthony Edwards, Jake Lehman, Juancho, Ed Davis. This is the first time, I believe, all year that Lehman and Hernan Gomez had shared the floor together outside of maybe a little bit of garbage time the other day. But playing Ed Davis with Juancho and Jake Lehman and Anthony Edwards, that's a really big lineup out there with D'Lo, and you're just entirely relying on D'Angelo Russell. And he didn't have it again. He had a couple of nice shots. He got hot a little bit when it was mostly out of reach in the third quarter. But if we're ready to already start talking big picture issues around this team, and I don't know that we should be there yet. In fact, I know that we shouldn't be. We're 4 games into the season. Still, I think we can start to try and see where these things are going, especially if admittedly some confirmation bias, if there's things that we had concerns about or that were red flags or maybe yellow flags headed into the season. For instance, D'Angelo Russell's defense. D'Angelo Russell's actually played okay defensively. Now, he kind of shut down on that end of the floor too at some point in this game. I think more second half than first half. But D'Angelo Russell's offense hasn't been good. I mean, he just hasn't been good offensively. And I'll get into Ricky Rubio's postgame comments here in a minute, but Rubio's starting to, call out his backcourt mate a little bit. Clearly, not by name, but very clearly with his postgame comments. And I want to talk about that here in a minute. But there's some of these things that we can start to play out and see, what is this going to look like 2-3 weeks from now as this snowballs? We all saw these double-digit losing streaks last year. The team's more talented than the team last year, and this team has no excuse for double-digit losing streaks. In fact, if they don't win Friday against Washington, I mean, that's I guess, a related conversation. We'll talk about that game specifically later. But this should not snowball in the way that things snowballed last year. If it starts to, you have to look at who's supposed to step up in Karl-Anthony Towns' absence. And the answer right now is D'Angelo Russell. He had an awful game. He just did. And that to me is the biggest concern. If you're going to have big concerns moving forward, big picture concerns, D'Angelo Russell, I mean, he's got to play better. He's got to play more consistently. He's got to make his teammates better. If you're going to make a big picture issue out of this game or of the last two losses, D'Angelo Russell's the thing. Also, the power forward situation, maybe to a slightly lesser extent, because I have been a Jared Vanderbilt, I guess I would say one of the charter members of the fan club now since they traded for him. And so we'll talk more about him later. But Juancho and Jake Lehman have looked a little better the last two games, but not great, especially not for the money that they paid Hernan Gomez. Things that I wouldn't be too worried about yet. Jarrett Culver had an awful game. He shot 0 for 10. He also led the team in rebounding with 10 rebounds. I'm not worried about Jarrett Culver yet. Malik Beasley's been pretty hot and cold. We saw that in preseason. We've seen it in the regular season so far where he has these stretches where he just doesn't play defense and he takes bad shots. And then all of a sudden he's locked in on defense. You start to think, maybe he wasn't joking when he said he wanted to be all NBA defensive team. And then he's hitting threes and he's, scoring at the rim and scoring in transition. I'm not terribly worried about Culver or Beasley. I think that Culver will always be good defensively, and there's certainly something to be said for his offense so far this year, the improvement that he's had there. I think that very well could be for real still, and I'm not ready to say based on one bad performance that, his confidence is shot. I don't think that's fair. I also am not too worried about Malik Beasley. The things that I could talk myself into being pretty worried about, D'Angelo Russell as a second star, which I understand, again, 4 games in, but man, early returns are not great. And then the power forward situation in general are probably the bigger picture issues. So I want to get into the game specifically, a couple of the coaching decisions that were made, or I guess more accurately, were not made during the game. And then also studs and duds from this game and looking ahead at the rest of the week and what to look out for. Before we do all that, though, let's talk about our great friends at betonline.ag. If you love football, Week 17 of the NFL regular season is this weekend. Bowl games are underway. New Year's Eve, New Year's Day bowl games are still this week happening. And there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust here at the Locked On Network. That's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. NFL games, college football games, obviously NBA, tons of NBA action this week. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, we talked about betonline.ag, but we've also got a brand new podcast on the Locked On Network to get you ready to start betting on betonline.ag, and that is Locked On Bets. Betting on the NBA, NFL, college football does not have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's talk about the game. I, these blowouts going blow by blow doesn't do anybody a whole lot of good. So I'll hit some high points on just kind of the game flow before getting into the post-game comments from mostly from Ryan Saunders and Ricky Rubio, and then doing some studs and duds here to close out the show for today. The Timberwolves actually played really hard to start out. I actually had in my notes, I mean, D'Angelo Russell's defensive energy, they tried to hide him on Nicholas Batum, and it kind of worked for the first like 7 minutes of the game or something like that. He had two deflections in the first two and a half minutes of the game. One led to a fast break. The other, he deflected the ball out of bounds. He was actually active hands up in Batum's face. As the quarter wore on, Batum took him in the post a couple of times. That didn't work out well for D'Angelo Russell. And I mean, the Clippers just found a way to kind of chip away at the Wolves. I guess their psyche, because they really did kind of give up. The Wolves are up 16-7. With 7:30 on the clock in the first quarter. And then after a timeout, things started to go downhill. The Wolves' first player off the bench was Anthony Edwards. And in this game, I didn't mention this, but Jarrett Culver and Ricky Rubio both started with no Okogie and no Towns. So your starting lineup was D'Angelo Russell, Ricky Rubio, Malik Beasley, Jarrett Culver, and Naz Reid. So Jordan McLaughlin was the second guy off the bench after Edwards. The Wolves were still up 20-16. So there was a quick 9-4 run from the Clippers with just a little over 4 minutes left. Then it was tied at 25. And then the Clippers had that run to close out the first quarter and have that 33-29 lead. I mentioned earlier, Malik Beasley had a couple of really bad possessions when he was back on the floor. Rubio came out of the game. It looked like he tweaked his ankle. Not sure if that's why he sat a little bit longer, but maybe not so coincidentally, the big Clippers push came mostly with Rubio off the floor. And I'm not saying that to suggest that Ricky Rubio is the savior or the Timberwolves best player, second best player, any of that. I'm just saying that Ricky Rubio was a NBA caliber point guard and a competent player throughout the game today. He played, I would argue, you could say it was his best game, at least offensively, in a Timberwolves uniform here the second time around. He didn't take too many bad shots. There were a couple bad shots and a bad turnover late in the game against the Jazz, and he was a little up and down against the Lakers. But this is a great game for Rubio, and he was steady. And so not having him on the court for that stretch in the late first, early second quarter was really an issue. So the Wolves played that big lineup I mentioned earlier for a stretch in the second quarter. D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, Jake Layman, Juancho Hernan Gomez, and Ed Davis. So sliding Layman down to the three, playing Edwards at the two. And that lineup puts a ton of pressure on D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards. Edwards hit a couple of hard threes. He had back-to-back threes. One was a deep three. The other one was a step back. And Lou Williams was all of a sudden hot. And so that's part of the thing. Jim Peterson was talking about on the Timberwolves broadcast during this game about how the Wolves defensively against the Lakers at times weren't terrible. The Lakers were making really tough shots. That's true. That actually happened a little bit at the start of the Clippers run in this game. And this is why it's not completely hopeless on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's a little disappointing, is that the Wolves played so well and then the adversity hit. The adversity was bringing in some of the guys from the bench. It was Rubio heading to the bench. It was Lou Williams hitting a bunch of tough shots, then trying to put Jake Layman on him. And he toasted Jake Layman for like three straight possessions. And at that point, the Wolves were suddenly down double digits and they basically just shut down. They had some bad luck. Lou Williams made some tough shots. The Wolves missed a couple shots at the rim. Jarrett Culver missed some shots at the rim. They missed some open threes. And then all of a sudden it's a 12-0 run by the Clippers. It snowballs. And then it's a 25-5 run. And now you're down 20 plus at halftime. And it's just like that in the snap of the fingers. And on the one hand, again, some bad luck. It snowballed. You know, get them next time, right? I mean, they played well for the first 10 minutes of the game. Yeah, I guess there's that silver lining. But on the other hand, if that's how you react to that adversity, if that's how you react to, you know, a little bit of bad luck, and tip your cap to Lou Williams, he made some tough shots. But that's no excuse to get down 20 plus by halftime against a team missing arguably their best player in Kawhi Leonard. Yes, their best player in Kawhi Leonard, and a team that just lost by 51 on Sunday. Yeah, they're good, but you should be down 20 at halftime. Not when you're up 10 in the first quarter or 9 in the first quarter. So things really snowballed. The second half isn't really worth talking about outside of the Wolves down 30 plus. They brought in some guys, and I'll get into studs and duds here, talk more about Jared Vanderbilt. But if you've listened to this podcast regularly or if you follow me on Twitter, I'm not going to shut up about Jared Vanderbilt until he's getting minutes and until I'm proven wrong. And if I'm proven right, I probably still won't shut up about him. I've been talking about him since they traded for him. He was a first round talent, a guy who has deserved a shot at the NBA. And he's obviously raw, and he's gotten some seasoning in the G League, sat on the bench for some good Nuggets teams, but he's ready for an opportunity. And if he can't get it with Karl-Anthony Towns out, then I don't know what we're doing here. So he needs to see some minutes. We'll talk more about him and what he did here in a moment. Before we do that, though, let's talk about our great friends at Built Go. If you have a wall that you need to break through, mental, physical wall, break through it with Built Go every single day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market, but it's not just a workout gel. It's really like a 5-hour energy, but without the same crash feeling, but it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's also, I mean, you could say it's like drinking a Monster, but with a third the caffeine and still better results. And again, it's natural, so it's healthy for you. Built Go is easy to take in 1.5-ounce packages. Throw it in your bag, just put it in your pocket to help you get through the day. It comes in 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Combines energy gel with collagen protein. It's also loaded with stuff like beta-alanine, vitamin B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. Personally, Built Go is a huge thing when, you know, you're going day job to coaching youth basketball to podcasting and blogging and everything everybody's got going on. Everybody's busy. Trust me, Built Go will help you get through it. Visit builtgo.com. Use promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. If you want to get basketball smart, it starts with listening to the Hollinger and Duncan podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. NBA analytics pioneer and front office insider John Hollinger joins Dunked On podcast host Nate Duncan to bring you scouting reports, game breakdowns, and salary cap analysis. Subscribe to Hollinger and Duncan today, wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, quickly before we get into studs and duds, I mentioned the postgame comments, and I'm not a big, you know, read between the lines, read too much into these comments type of a guy, but I think it's important to watch, especially after a game like this. Ryan Saunders, for his part, called his team out after the game in his media interview. This is transcribed by John Krasinski at The Athletic. The quote from Saunders is, "When you start switching just to switch with it not being part of what we're doing with certain guys, that's going to cause confusion and miscommunication. It wasn't one guy. It wasn't two guys. It was multiple guys that started doing that." That's the quote. The tweet before that, Saunders says the game got away when players started to deviate from the game plan and do their own thing. He's frustrated, says he has confidence they'll find themselves. Yeah, that's a problem if you have guys just not following the game plan. Now, the defensive game plan is put in place by David Vanterpool, the associate head coach. And Ryan Saunders is obviously in charge of making sure that these things happen. So these guys have to go back, and I'm sure they're going to today in the film session back in Minneapolis. They're going to talk to these guys about who didn't follow the game plan, who is switching when they shouldn't have. Clearly, the Wolves' plan was to switch on certain guys and to stay home on certain guys and to drop on certain guys. It just depends on who's the ball handler, who's involved in the action. And it seems to me, without having rewatched the entire game and you know, charting all of this, it seems like it was probably just some guys who either got lazy and didn't focus in on, you know, who are we covering here, remembering the game plan, or just saying it's easier to, you know, we'll just switch everything, whatever. Obviously, that it certainly seems like that's part of the snowball in the second quarter. I mean, that was a big issue, right? Was the late first, early second quarter. Because again, I thought the Wolves certainly played hard early in the game, the first part of the first quarter, and they played fairly hard third quarter, fourth quarter when it was too late. I don't know. I mean, that's an issue, and we'll see how the Wolves react. We'll see if Saunders can get these guys to follow through, and if they can just execute the game plan that they put in place. And then Ricky Rubio had a quote, which, you know, I'll present the quote and then I'll give my comment on it. Rubio said, this is again from John Krasinski at The Athletic, said, quote, when things are not going to where everyone goes and plays selfish, we got to learn. You can put a lot of excuses. We were young, blah, blah, blah. Once you step on the court and you're playing for an NBA team, the last two games, it's been ridiculously bad. There's no other words to put it. We got to get better. So when you hear the words, everyone goes and plays selfish, what comes into your mind? Now, I'm not going to say D'Angelo Russell is a selfish player. I'm not saying that, because I think he's a fantastic player and clearly the most, I don't want to say dynamic. I would say Malik Beasley's the most dynamic offensive player with Towns not on the floor, but Russell's the guy who can get his own shot and can make any shot on the floor at any time. Although he doesn't go into the paint very often, which is something Beasley's done a little bit more of lately. So I'm not going to say Russell's selfish, but I am going to say that my assessment of the Lakers game on Sunday, if you go back and listen to the show from Monday of this week, was that, you know, say Anthony Edwards, and I'm not blaming Anthony Edwards. Remember, this was his third game. He had some success beyond the arc. Great. That's awesome. The Wolves are going to shoot a ton of threes. He needs to make a ton of threes. But then he was shooting flat footed threes with guys a foot away from him instead of when he had plenty of space to drive into the paint, to create, et cetera. D'Angelo Russell's guilty of that too. And guys like Anthony Edwards see D'Lo doing it. And so then they do it. They shoot flat footed threes from 26 feet away early in the shot clock instead of creating something else. And it's not just those two guys either. It's the early shots across the board. Culver was doing some of it. Naz Reid was doing some of it. And then at sometimes they were turning down open shots to dribble into tougher shots. So I'm not, you know, those are pretty pointed words. I mean, throwing around the word selfish, I think Rubio knows what he's saying. I mean, that's not a light thing to say about, now he didn't say anybody specifically, but certainly feels like D'Lo. I don't think he's calling out Anthony Edwards in game four of his career for being selfish. So we'll see how the Wolves handle that. I mean, clearly that's where he's headed with that comment. And I think it's a fair assessment. Now I've been hard on D'Lo on this podcast and spoiler, he's going to be on my duds list. But he's obviously unbelievably talented. There's a reason he's on the team. And I think that the Wolves can succeed with him, but he's not star 1A on a team that makes the playoffs. He's just even a playoff team, not just a championship contender. I do think he can be star number two on a playoff team. That means Karl-Anthony Towns is healthy and he's star number one. D'Angelo Russell's not capable of fully carrying this team, but he's got to do a better job than he's been doing. All right, studs and duds. We'll start with studs for this game. Let's start with duds so we can end on a little bit of a positive note. The duds, D'Angelo Russell led the team in scoring. He did. He had 22 points. I said something on Twitter about him being not good and a couple people killed me for it, but 22 points. He shot the ball 19 times, 4 of 11 on threes. He had 4 assists to 3 turnovers. He was a team worst or game worst, minus 26. I don't love single game plus minus, but there it is. Single game, he was minus 26 in 31 minutes. He was really good defensively early in the game. I said that already. I was impressed. He missed a couple shots he normally makes, and then he got hot in the third quarter. I think he hit 3 threes in the third, and that's really what kind of buoyed that total. If you look at his numbers at halftime, they weren't nearly that good. He's a dud for me simply because of his failure to operate the team in the way that they need him to with no Karl-Anthony Towns. And I think that there's not much else that needs to be said about that. Jarrett Culver's not a dud for me. He was 0 for 10, but he mostly took good shots, missed a couple of bunnies at the rim that he normally would make, and he had 10 rebounds, led the team in rebounding. Nobody else had more than 6 rebounds, and he didn't lead the team in minutes. There were 3 guys who got more minutes than him, 4 guys who got more minutes than him. So it's not like Culver got all the minutes, so he got all the rebounds. He had 10 rebounds. There were a couple guys who played a lot of minutes that had 0 rebounds. One of them was Ricky Rubio. He had 0 rebounds in 26 minutes. You know who another guy with 0 rebounds was? Anthony Edwards. 25 minutes, 0 rebounds. That cannot happen. That is the Andrew Wiggins problem. And I praised him on the post-game pod over the weekend after the Wolves beat the Jazz. I said I was completely ready to eat my crow about Anthony Edwards, and there was nothing, basically nothing about his game that resembled Andrew Wiggins so far in his NBA career. Well, in this game, he shot the ball 10 times. 7 of them were threes, and he made 4 of them, which is great. He only shot 3 2-point shots, had 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals, minus 21, second worst plus minus on the team in this game. I'm not going to give him a dud officially, but I wanted to point out that line because it's concerning to me, certainly. So, you know, the Edwards 0 rebounds, Rubio 0 rebounds, not good. The other dud that I'm going to give in this game is going to go to Malik Beasley. And it's tough because he was the second leading scorer in this game. And so maybe I'm crazy, but he shot 5 of 16, 2 of 8 on threes. He did get to the free throw line 8 times. He had 4 rebounds. He played hard early, but he had a couple of those defensive lapses that the Wolves just can't have. And with no Karl-Anthony Towns, there's that much more pressure on D'Angelo Russell and on Malik Beasley. And those guys did not come through in this game. And that is extremely frustrating. All right, studs for this game. Ricky Rubio is a stud for me. 17 points, third on the team in scoring, 5 assists. He did have 3 turnovers, 6 of 8 shooting, 2 of 3 from beyond the arc, made all 3 of his free throws. No, he didn't have any rebounds. But Ricky Rubio is also a point guard, and he's a good rebounding point guard. He has a track record of being a good rebounding point guard. So that, to me, is a blip on the radar. Disappointing, yes. Not the same as Anthony Edwards having 0 rebounds in 25 minutes, playing the 2 and the 3 and being a much bigger and more athletic person than Ricky Rubio or Jordan McLaughlin or some of these guys who had 0 rebounds in the game. So Rubio gets a stud for me because he was the engine that made this team go. He did have a season high 17 points and he played well overall. The best player on the floor for my money for the Timberwolves, and I don't think it was particularly close in this game, was Jared Vanderbilt. 9.6 rebounds, an assist, a steal, a block, 16 minutes. He was an even in the plus minus category, which in this game, when you lose by 23, that's a victory. 4 of 5 shooting, another efficient game for him. He played well in garbage time against the Lakers. And his only miss, he got a shot swatted. It was, I think, his first shot attempt. It was kind of a soft hook attempt that just got swatted. Then after that, it seemed like he got his sea legs and he played hard. In fact, the first possession when he came into the game, he had an offensive, he made a great pass to the corner. There was a missed three, got an offensive rebound, got another offensive rebound, kicked it out. D'Lo hit a three. So 2 offensive rebounds on his first possession in the game, played well defensively, had 1 really nice block, had a couple really contested strong rebounds, and looks like he belongs. And I've said it from day one that he needs to get run as a 4 option long-term next to Towns. But I think he should, at the start of the year, should have been in the rotation, finding minutes at the 4. And I think he's a solution at the backup 5. Nas Reed was okay in this game. He had 11 points, but only 3 rebounds in 20 minutes and wasn't good defensively again. But I think Vanderbilt is a potential answer behind Towns at the 5, spot minutes at the 4 next to Towns, can be the switchable athlete that the Wolves need at the 4. He's big enough, he's strong enough, he plays hard, which is super important, as we've all seen. And Vanderbilt deserves more of an opportunity here moving forward. I'm going to stay on that bandwagon until somebody knocks me off. So here's hoping for more Jared Vanderbilt minutes later on this week when the Wolves take on the Wizards. All right, that's all we have for you today. Later this week, today's Wednesday. We do have a show tomorrow on Thursday. Remember, the show is daily Monday through Friday. So Thursday, we'll preview Friday's game against the Wizards and talk about any other Wolves news. We will not have a game, we'll not have a show on New Year's Day. So we'll do the Wizards preview on Thursday. I will have a weekend show between the Wizards game and the Sunday game against Denver. We'll probably post on Saturday. And that'll be a bit of a Wizards kind of post-game studs and duds recap of that game, looking ahead to Wolves Nuggets on Sunday. And then we'll be back on our 5 shows a week plan starting next week, Monday through Friday, with the holidays over. So that'll be the next few days here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.